we turn to the scriptures, please turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we'll be actually focusing on verses only 18 and 19 this morning. I'm going to go ahead and begin reading in verse 12, reading all the way through verse 21. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 12 and reading through verse 21. This is the word of God. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. This is God's word. As many of you may remember, in the evening service, I have been preaching for about 2 years now through the book of Colossians. And we've been on break for a couple months, and it was fitting that in time of baptisms and parenting classes and all these things going on, to return to where we were in Colossians, focusing on the Christian household. Now, as you may remember, when Pastor Jeff was preaching through the parallel passage in Ephesians 5, he began by talking about, you know, the little sense of trepidation he had preaching on the family, at that time being somewhat of a new husband and father. And you can imagine now, for me, being neither a father or married, the trepidation of preaching on such a passage like this. But as Pastor Jeff reminded us then, the Word of God is still the Word of God, no matter what the experience of the one delivering it. But as we begin to look at these verses, I also want to remind us, especially since we haven't been in Colossians for a while, of the context of where these verses are coming from. It may seem rather abrupt that Paul is talking about, you know, put on then as God's chosen ones, you know, compassionate hearts, love, peace, all these things. And then he just starts talking to wives and husbands and fathers and children. It can feel rather abrupt. We need to remember in chapter 3 here, Paul's focusing on, in fact, going back to the first couple verses, focusing on the fact that we have died to this world, we have died to our sins, and we have been united to Christ. Our identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, he says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We are in Christ, we are to pursue the things that Christ would have us to pursue and forsake the things that are evil. And then in verses 5 through 11, Paul outlines those things which we must forsake, which are evil, things such as sexual immorality, anger, wrath, malice, obscene talk, and lies. And then in verse 12 and following, he begins to talk about the things that we are to put on. Compassionate hearts, kindness, forgiving each other, putting on love, which binds everything together, the peace of Christ should rule in our hearts, etc. And then he comes and turns to looking at the household. And I think the reason that Paul does this is he's emphasizing the fact that where is it that we spend most of our lives? It's in our homes. Who are the people that know us the best? It's in our homes. Where is it that we most practically live out all these things that Paul has been talking about? It's in our homes. And here we see, what does it mean in our union with Christ, in our identity with Christ, to live as Christ would have us live in our families? And what things in particular does Christ want us to do in our families? So that brings us to our first point, verse 18. Christ desires that wives are to submit to their husbands. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. One of the unique things about these verses in Colossians is this. This is the most blunt, straightforward, and simple way Paul says these things. In fact, the entire New Testament says these things. In Ephesians 5, he goes on this long, great discourse about how marriage is a picture of Christ and the church, and goes on to talk about how husbands are to love their wives. And in 1 Peter 3, we also see an extended discussion on these topics. Here in Colossians, he just says, this is what wives are supposed to do, and this is what husbands are supposed to do, and that's all he gives us. So we're going to unpack a little bit of what this means, bringing in other parts of the New Testament as well. But as we think about this idea of what it means to submit and the issue of authority and all that, we need to recognize at the outset that we live in a culture that doesn't like authority. I mean, we're Americans. We like our freedom. We like our individuality. We literally have a flag that says, don't tread on me. But we need to remember that Christ, that God has established authority structures in this world. Not just the family, but we have the government. As Americans, we like to think that the government is bad. But we see in Romans 13 that God has given government with a good purpose, to restrain evil and to promote that which is good. In fact, even rulers are described as ministers of God, not ministers like a preacher, but ministers are those who have been given responsibilities and duties by God in this world. God has established authority structure in the state. He also has authority structures in the church. He's established leaders, pastors, elders, etc. to lead his congregation, to lead his body. And God has also established authority structure in the family. Authority is not necessarily a bad thing. The abuse of authority is. All authority is derived from God and must be used properly for the purposes that God has given for it. And the abuse of that authority is evil. But the authority itself is not a bad thing. And here in particular, we see in the homes that there's an order, there's a structure that God has given. Husbands are to lead, and the wives are to submit to their husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And this can be really hard teaching. I remember many years ago talking to my mom about this because, you know, that's what all high school boys do, right? They talk to their moms about difficult passages in the scriptures. So I asked her about this. I'm like, you know, how do you practice this? What do you think about this? And she said, it's hard. And she talked about an author she's read that's, you know, Elizabeth Elliot, who was the wife of Jim Elliot, who was a Christian missionary to South America and was martyred, trying to bring the gospel to people who've never known Jesus. And Elizabeth Elliot has said, you know, I was married to the most godly man there ever was, and there were times when I hated to submit to him. This is hard, and it's difficult. And this isn't just, you know, difficult for wives. We'll talk later on about, you know, children are to obey their parents. You know, servants or employees are supposed to obey their employers. We're all supposed to, listen to the state. These are hard things, difficult things. We don't like submitting ourselves to others. But a particular calling that Christ has for wives is that they are to submit to the leaders that God has given them, particularly their husbands. Now, we also need to be careful to talk about what this does not mean. This does not mean that wives or women are in any way less than their husbands. In fact, there are many instances where the wives are more competent than their husbands. That's not what this is saying at all. In fact, in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, where Paul is talking about the relationship between husbands and wives, he admonishes husbands that you must honor your wives, and one of the reasons why husbands must honor their wives is your wife is a joint heir with you in Christ for glory. Think about that for a moment. Men and women equally are joint heirs with Christ. We receive the same rewards in heaven. There is no distinction there. In fact, that's why Paul says in Galatians 3:28 that there's no Jew nor Gentile or male or female. He's not getting rid of gender. He's not getting rid of the different roles in the household. But he's saying in the sight of God, we are equal. The wife is just as important as her husband. And in fact, when you think about it, who was it that Jesus first revealed himself to after the resurrection? But to one of his friends, not his disciples, but one of his female friends. And so while the wife has a particular calling to submit to her husband, this does not mean that she's any less than him. There shouldn't be these teachings about wives and husbands. There should not be conflict here, but there should be a unity. They should complement each other and work together. Now, it's also important here that while wives are called to submit to their husbands, it is not an absolute submission. Paul says here in the end of verse 18, as is fitting in the Lord. And this is that particular teaching that there is an authority greater for all of us than whatever authority there may be here on earth, particularly the authority of God. And that when a human authority desires for us to do something that is against the desires of God, we have a responsibility to not submit and obey. We see an example of this with the government in the story of Daniel. When the king outlaws prayer to anyone except to the king, what does Daniel do? He doesn't stop praying. He goes and he prays to the Lord God. He follows God rather than man. And we see throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament the same thing going on in the church, where if the church leaders and authorities tell you to follow a gospel different than the gospel of Christ, to do things which Christ has not commanded you to do, you are not to follow them. And the same rule applies in the home. The husband is not an absolute authority. His authority is derived from God. And if he tries to lead his wife in a wrong direction, then she cannot follow. She submits to her husband as is fitting in the Lord. Now, we've touched upon this aspect already, but there's something else we see here. If wives are to submit to their husbands, this brings us to our second point, which is the implication is that the husbands are to be the leaders in their homes. The husbands are to be the leaders in their homes, and especially the spiritual leaders of their homes. This is why Ephesians is so helpful. It goes on with this long, extended discussion about what it means for a husband to lead his home, that he has to give himself up for his home. For his wife, he has to sanctify her, sanctify his wife by leading her in the ways of Christ. The husband has a particular responsibility given by God to lead. In fact, we can say that the spiritual health of your family is, in some sense, your responsibility. Now, obviously, in the end, God must bless our labors. But it's important here to remember that this is a particular calling that God has given to husbands, that they are to be the leaders of their homes. You can't get out of it. Now, there is the issue that sometimes men aren't very competent leaders, and they may want to give up this responsibility. But we don't see any justification for that in Scripture, except rather I'd like us to consider Jesus' parable of the talents. If you remember in that parable, he gives to three servants a number of talents. One servant is given five talents, one is given two talents, and one is given one talent. And the one who has five talents earns five talents more. He doubles the amount of money he was given. And the one that was given two talents, he earned two talents more. He doubled the amount of money he was given. But the one who was given one, he buried it in the ground and didn't do anything with it. The point is, it doesn't matter how great your natural gifting is. What matters is, what do you do with what you have? And how do you improve upon what God has given you? If God has given you a responsibility, then you are obligated to do that, to work on it. And if you're not good at it, to improve at it. That is the calling that God has given to husbands. Husbands must lead their homes. This then brings us to our third point. We've talked about how wives are called to submit to their husbands, and husbands are called to lead their homes. And this then brings us to the question of how is it that they are to lead their homes, and that husbands are to lead their homes, particularly their wives, with love and gentleness. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. The reason that preaching on this topic is so important is because the culture desires the exact opposite of all of these things. In terms of the teaching to wives and the teaching to husbands, the culture always teaches the opposite of this. And in fact, our culture teaches the opposite of husbands treating their wives well. I think I've mentioned in a previous sermon the TV character who was known that whenever he's with his guy friends, what does he do? He disparages his wife for entertainment. It's what was expected. That's how you're one of the guys. You say mean things about your wife. And he admits in one episode that he loves his wife, but when he's with the guys, it's just what you do. And that is so evil, to treat your wife in that way. What does it mean to love someone, but to seek what is best for them? To seek what is best for them. The husband, as the leader of the home, is not a tyrant. As I mentioned already, his authority comes from Christ. And that's not an absolute authority, but only as he leads his family in pursuit of Christ. And as he leads, he must lead in a loving way, meaning not after his own selfish desires, but in what is best for building up his family and pursuing Jesus. Husbands are supposed to be loving leaders. And notice what Paul adds on, do not be harsh with them. Do not be harsh with them. First Peter adds that husbands are supposed to lead their wives in live with their wives in an understanding manner. I mean, let's think about that for a second. Thankfully, God does not say that we have to understand our wives. But he does say we are to live with them in an understanding manner. Not to be harsh, but to be gentle. And this is the example of Christ. Christ's leadership of the church is not a harsh leadership, but it is a gentle, shepherding leadership, a loving leadership. And this is what men are to exemplify in their homes. A leadership that seeks what is best for others. A leadership that is gentle and not harsh. A leadership that is understanding. Too often, even in Christian circles sometimes, men and husbands don't view their wives well. But I want us to remember, how is it that Jesus views wives and women? I mentioned already 1 Peter 3:7 and Galatians 3 that our wives are the co-heirs in heaven. But even more than that, the scripture speaks again and again in the Proverbs that a good wife is a precious thing. It is a gift from God. It is something to be valued. And the calling of husbands is to value their wives, to love them, to see them as a gift. When you value something, you don't treat it poorly. I mean, just think about, like, if you have a really nice car, you take care of that thing, right? You don't treat it poorly. You don't go around and mess it up. You take care of it. And just as Christ takes care of his church, so also husbands are to care and love for their wives. Now, as someone who's about to get married, Lord willing, in the next month, I will admit that I'm a little bit terrified of this reality. Because this is a high calling, and this is not easy. Wives don't have it easy. Husbands don't have it easy. I mean, to consider the other is more important than yourself, that is a very high calling. But the last point I have for us this morning is to remember that this, the fact that this calling is so difficult and so important, is what makes it all the more necessary that we have Christ as the center of our home. Because we can't do this. A wife in and of herself cannot submit to her husband. And a husband in and of himself cannot well lead his wife. But both need Christ to enable them to live with each other well, to honor each other well. Christ must be the center of our homes. He is the one who gives us the strength. He is the one who gives us the love necessary to do this work. Now, I want to be careful to mention here that this isn't a formula for a perfect marriage or a perfect family. There is no formula. But what God has given is he's given us directions and responsibilities of how we're supposed to live in our homes. And he calls us to do this through him and in him. And so, as we live in our Christian homes, this is what we must seek. Seek first Christ. Seek first Christ that we may then be able to honor him in how we live. Christ must be the most important thing in our family's life. It's more important than our own desires. It's more important than our desires for the other members in our family. And so we pursue him first and above all, that we may then be able to honor him in our home. Let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us the grace and the strength that as we live as Christians in our families, that you would enable us to pursue first Christ, that he would then enable us to live well with each other and performing the responsibilities as to him that you have given us in our homes. We pray that your word would do its work in our hearts and that you would help us to grow, to love you more and be conformed more to your image. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.